The New York Times once wrote about him, "Lewis is the ideal persuader for the half-convinced, for the good man who would like to be a Christian, but finds his intellect getting in the way." Today we'll meet the man who heads up the C.S. Lewis Foundation.
Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friends, and welcome to our Thursday time of study and fellowship here at the Voice of Prophecy. I'm Kenneth Richards. Dr. J. Stanley Matson has been with us for this entire week of programs, and we've been delighted by the insights he's been able to share about C.S. Lewis, the Christian apologist and writer, and also about the work his own foundation is accomplishing to further the aims C.S. Lewis himself championed before his death back in 1963. Today, as a thank you gift to all of those who have tuned in, we'd like to mail out a copy of probably Lewis's greatest book, Mere Christianity. We have a toll-free request line set up to take your calls, and also our regular address for U.S. and Canadian listeners, so be ready to jot down those details in a few minutes. However, I know you're eager to meet our guest, Dr. Matson, and Lonnie and I are just as interested in what he has to say, so here's Lonnie.
Dr. Stan Matson, the president of the C.S. Lewis Foundation, welcome back again to Voice of Prophecy.
Good to be here with you, Lonnie.
One of our favorite authors that we quote is C.S. Lewis, and we're glad you're here to help inform and educate our public. And today we want to talk about the Lewis legacy. How do you explain the popularity of Lewis in a culture that's so indifferent to Christianity?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's something that should give us cause to really pause. You know, there's a widespread and very real perception among Christians that we're not exactly winning any popularity contests in this country. When I speak both on secular campuses as well as in churches, and I ask the question, how do you think we're perceived on Main Street? The adjectives one hears are intolerant, arrogant, dogmatic, humorless, anti-intellectual, hardly positive images.
Not the ones of loving and so forth that we usually think.
In fact, it's interesting when you say that one, because I do recall vividly one gentleman, one brother in Christ saying loving, and the rest of about 250 people in the room said, oh no.
Cracked up.
You know, they just, you know, the Mother Teresa image is, you know, that's Mother Teresa's, but the church at large is not perceived of as being loving.
What do you think of the essential qualities of the Lewis legacy?
Well, the amazing thing is if you speak to non-Christians as well as Christians, and you ask them what is their perception of Lewis, the response is immediately and very proactively imaginative, superb mind, an excellent writer, remarkable sense of humor, quite self-effacing,
that
is very, very courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Those who knew him personally also knew he had a lot of private charities. I mean, it was interesting. Having grown up on a rescue mission in Brooklyn, New York, I was always counseled by my father never to give money to those in need on the streets, always take them for a cup of soup. Lewis said to himself, I will always give them money because I can always use the alibi. They don't have time to take them for soup. And I give to the street people, not for them. I give for myself because it's too easy for me to excuse myself in not giving by having such an alibi. But
you know, I can almost see our Lord in the shadows here, nodding approvingly when we talk about these principal hallmarks of C.S. Lewis. You spoke of humor, courage, imagination, depth, his mind, his excellence in anything.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation of which you are the president speaks of its commitment to bringing this legacy of Lewis to culture in a meaningful way. How do you envision accomplishing this?
Well, that's not an easy thing, and I think one of the things that requires is being willing really to, in a certain sense, to be still about that. In terms of our core values, as we define our core values, it's not in our intention to be big and grand our sense of stewardship to the vision is really to be faithful and to allow our Holy Father to guide and direct the traffic in terms of determining the magnitude of what we do or do not accomplish.
Plant the seed, the mustard seed.
Yeah, that is right. Where we are, to be faithful where we are. I think there are certain aspects to our mission, number one, our determination to go abroad back to England. We felt a real need to get out of the U.S. University setting and to go back to Oxford and Cambridge and to rediscover our roots in a very long-standing and rich intellectual and artistic tradition, which we've been totally cut off from in this country. And that's been very helpful. So our programs there in England have been very significant. And then here in the U.S. To begin to seek out this hidden people of the American professoriate, Christian professoriate, and to introduce them to one another as mere Christians across the communions from all branches of Christian faith, but Orthodox.
What can we learn about the way in which Lewis engaged the world? I mean, tomorrow we'd like to hear more about what the foundation is doing in terms of the Lewis legacy, but would you care to comment on the difference between the public's response to C.S. Lewis and its general response to Christians in general?
Well, I think one of the things we can learn from Lewis is that if we're faithful in the work God's called us to, that God really can use that. If you can imagine now at the time, this is November 22nd, 1963, and that shot or shots heard around the world when
right.
John F. Kennedy was lost to us in that tragic death, the headlines were filled with the loss of our president. It was a grievous day. C.S. Lewis died the same day, just a little blip in the byline.
That's
in
right.
fact, most of his friends didn't even realize he had died. He died of uremic poisoning, by the way, of an untreated prostate condition. But here we are now, decades later, and there's this rich fount of literature and ideas that are nurturing the church. How is it possible that a man in a home with a pencil who is just writing in the wee hours and then sending it off to a publisher has had an impact on so many millions and millions of people? He never, ever, ever would have imagined that. He was very persuaded that when he died, you know, it would be very transient material. So here we have, a great source of encouragement to know that as we are faithful about what we're called to do, that God can surprise us.
Let me just ask something here. Is there a danger, Stan? I mean, we actually have clubs of C.S. Lewis fans now and C.S. Lewis nuts, if you wish. Is there a danger as we discuss the Lewis legacy that, you know, Christians could get too focused on one man's ideas? I mean, Paul talks about, here's Cephas over here and Apollos over there, and he's, man, I'm preaching Christ.
Yeah.
Can we take one person too far here? His take on the Christian faith? That probably happens as much with C.S. Lewis as with any other author.
Yeah, sure, we can, in point of fact, and I think nothing would serve Lewis more poorly than, in fact, doing that. Lewis was himself one who always was, in that sense, self-deprecating and pointing to the cross. And I think that to the degree we focus on Lewis, we've made a mistake. To the degree we focus on the God of C.S. Lewis, that I think there's a smile that steals across his face.
What did he think of people who were obviously Lewis devotees and fanatics of his work? How did he advise them?
Well, of course, there are those who were close to Lewis and who say, well, this is embarrassing. We shouldn't have a foundation. We shouldn't have an institute. We shouldn't have a C.S. Lewis study center at Oxford and so, because Jack just would not have felt comfortable at all with that. And, our take on that is no person who's honored is going to say, please honor me. But if we are going to appropriately value and cherish those things that are given to us by people, then when we honor them, whether it's a 50th anniversary or a birthday, they may be bashful and shy and say, well, no, you shouldn't have. At the same time, we're enriched when we do honor those folks. And so with C.S. Lewis, our sense is, the question is, how do we honor him? And at Oxford and at Cambridge, we honor him by filling our chapels with songs of praise, with full choirs worshiping a risen Lord. And we know that would bring great joy to him. So I think it's very important that it not become a cult of C.S. Lewis, but at the same time being freed up to quote him just as we do Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, very insightful. Now, tomorrow we'd like to hear more about the foundation and its work. You're located here, at least in the United States, in Redlands, California. But would you just mention again the website and how people could get more information about C.S. Lewis or his writings? And Oxford 98, perhaps.
Yes, I'm happy to do that. And if they are so inclined, they can reach us at www.cslewis.org, O-R-G for organization, or they can call our toll-free number 1-888-CS-Lewis to order at our bookstore. And, of course, the profits for that go to support the ministry and the work of the foundation, which is much appreciated. Or they can reach us on email at, simply at cslewisfoundation@juno.com.
And if you're planning that once-in-a-lifetime vacation to the British Isles or England, why is 98 so special next year?
Well, it'll be the 100th anniversary of C.S. Lewis's birth. Born on November 29th, 1898. We'll be celebrating on the 3rd and 4th week of July. And there'll be many hundreds. We're expecting close to 1,000 there from all over the world, in Oxford and Cambridge, and a major service at Westminster in London in between the 2 weeks. So we'd be happy to send literature along to your listeners if they're so inclined and interested.
Stan, thanks again for being our guest today on The Voice of Prophecy. Stanley Matson, president of the C.S. Lewis Foundation.
Thank you, Lonnie. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Lonnie. And friend, we're so thankful that you've joined us too. All week, as we visit with Dr. Matson, we're encouraging you to let us send you a copy of C.S. Lewis' groundbreaking book, Mere Christianity. This is a full-length classic bestseller, so we're asking you to help us with a gift of $5 just to cover the unavoidable expense. Again, the name of the book is Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, yours for a ministry donation of just $5 or $7 Canadian. Here's our toll-free number, 1-800-872-0055. Again, that's 1-800-872-0055. And the operator can take down your credit card number. If you prefer, you can write to us, enclose that gift of $5 or more, and request Mere Christianity by mail. Here's our address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. In Canada, write us at Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. That's Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4, and enclose $7 in Canadian funds. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. We'll really appreciate it. We have just enough time left to mention our website at www.vop.com. Drop by and pay us a visit there, too. Speaking of visits, we just have one more day to spend with our guest, Dr. J. Stanley Matson of the C.S. Lewis Foundation. So make sure you're right here by your radio tomorrow at this same time. Until then, this is Kenneth Richards reminding you that God really does love you.
John drove his family 2,000 miles to Grandma's house. He would be there for just 2 nights and a day before flying out on business. Grandma was his wife's mother. They have a special friendship, but they don't see much of each other these days. Both nights after John's kids were asleep and Grandma had gotten her invalid husband to bed, they sat up and talked. Talked church, talked family, talked life. Was it worth it? All those miles for such a tiny visit? You bet it was. St. Augustine wrote, God made us for himself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in him. And that's true. It's the greatest truth. But the second greatest truth is that God made us for each other, and our hearts are restless when we're apart. We are a mobile society. Miles separate parents and children, brothers and sisters, sons-in-laws, and mothers-in-laws. Our friends are too often far away. Let's use the tools God has given us to bridge those miles and keep love alive. Use the phone, use the car, the jet, and make sure you're ready for the grand reunion in heaven, where time will last forever and miles won't mean a thing. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is Dan Matthews of Lifestyle Magazine.